All right, everyone, welcome back to the Stack the Pads podcast. I'm your host, Owen Kreps. John Hanna is not with us again this week, but today we are joined by another special guest. We have our first guest this season for men's hockey on. We have a versatile forward who can play any forward position, and he wins faceoffs like a champ. He had a career-high 28 points last season. He led RMU men's hockey before the unfortunate stoppage in both goals, points, and assists. And he was named one of the three co-captains last year. He'll be a leader this year, of course, as well. He has an unstoppable work ethic. Please welcome senior number 16 RMU men's hockey captain, Nick Perkusik.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Quite the entrance there for me, so thank you. Oh,
absolutely. How are you doing overall? I mean, everything that's going on with athletics, are you still in quarantine? How are things for you?
Things are going good. Like you said, I've been in quarantine. I get out tomorrow, finally. So
it's tomorrow.
I've been in for about 14 days. It's definitely going to be nice to get out. It'll still be some time before I'm able to get on the ice, but we got to get some, like, heart testing done and stuff like that for all the guys who tested positive. So, it's going to be good to get going. I mean, our season's right around the corner. So
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of a season right around the corner, this is a women's hockey podcast and men's hockey podcast, so we're pretty much obliged to bring up that women's hockey has announced their schedule overall. 20 games all within the CHA, limited travel. How closely do the two hockey teams on campus interact with each other? Is there ever like a fight over ice time or anything like that, or is everything pretty worked out?
No, nothing like that. I mean, we have our ice slots throughout the time and our gym slots. I mean, we share the same facility, but we kind of separate it so that we're not usually running into each other. I mean, especially this year, I don't think I've seen them at the rink once, just because we're trying to obviously keep our distance and stuff like that. So but as far as like the relationship with, like, we're definitely supportive of them, and I know that they're supportive of us. Just good relationship between the two teams, and hopefully they're able to get going. I know their season got pushed back a couple weeks, so that sucks for them. But once they do get going, I think they probably got a strong team this year and definitely be following along.
Absolutely. Football also released their schedule for 2021 as well. For all coverage on that, you can check out Colonial Sports Network. Men's hockey also was picked sixth in the preseason poll. You guys always seem to be the underdogs in terms of preseason polls. Does that serve as a kind of a motivation, seeing that, you know, no one kind of views you as the favorites and you have to work for it?
Yeah, definitely. That's something I think we've already talked about, that we can use that as motivation. I think we see ourselves as one of the top teams. I know we've definitely put in the work at the start of this summer to be a top team this year. And in my experience, this is definitely one of the better teams we've had since I've been here. We might be a little bit younger, but I think we have a lot of depth. So we definitely did use that as motivation. And once we get going, I think we'll be able to show that.
Also in news, Alex Tonge signs with the Wheeling Nailers. It seems like a lot of players from Robert Morris has, you know, been able to go to Wheeling. What are your thoughts on that? And all former Colonials that are starting to go pro in general.
Yeah, it's been great to see guys move on. I've definitely followed along. I know Tonge had a pretty good year last year. I think he was an admiral, if I'm not mistaken. But the East Coast is kind of like that. I mean, there's some switching teams and stuff like that, but it's definitely great to see guys move on. I know Luke moved on. Luke Lynch, he's on.
Yep.
Jake Coleman's going to have a big year. Daniel Mantenuto, he's in Italy.
Yep.
And there's a handful of guys that are still playing. So it's always good to see how they do, and I'm really happy for those guys.
Yeah, Alex Tonge was with the Norfolk Admirals last season. So you got the schedule came out just about a week ago. How much of the initial reaction to the schedule was you guys actually, you know, looking at the games, preparing for which games are going to be tough, versus, you know, just a sigh of relief that you have a schedule in the first place?
Yeah, I think the second thing you hit on there for sure is that we're just happy we're going to be able to play this year at first glance. And then you kind of look at the schedule and how it's broken down and how we're split up into just four teams now, really, in our division, because RIT dropped out.
Yep, I heard about
that. Of winter sports. So it's almost going to be like a playoff atmosphere. I mean, I know I'm pretty sure not every team makes the playoffs this year. We're going to play every team four or five times that's in our division, and then a couple against Air Force to make up our standings. So, I mean, you play a team that many times in a year, it's going to start to, probably have some bad blood, and there'll be some fun, exciting games.
Absolutely. Do you have any updates on, I don't know what you're allowed to tell us, but do you know if there will be fans or media allowed in attendance?
I'm not too sure on that yet. I know that it's probably going to be down to some capacity. I'm not sure if fans will be allowed in, or might just be media and a few family members, but I'm not too certain on that. I'm sure that'll come out in the next week here.
Well, if there are, limited fans, how much of an impact does that have in terms of just the overall playing atmosphere?
Yeah, that's a big thing. That's going to be a big challenge for us to get over. I mean, fans usually bring the energy no matter what building you're in. And I don't know if our band will be there, but they definitely create some energy as well. So that's going to be a problem for a lot of teams across all hockey. I mean, we saw in the NHL, they had to do the NHL playoffs with no fans. So if we can create our own energy, that's going to be something that I think the best teams this year will be able to do, is bring that energy themselves.
Also on the news type of side, the Ontario Hockey League, they're looking they're looking into banning hitting for the upcoming season. Many hockey fans, including myself, for being completely honest, are kind of up in arms about this. The league that is saying that it's for, health reasons. Did you hear about this overall, and what are your overall thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely heard about that. I saw some things on that. It's definitely interesting. I don't know how they're going to do it. And I honestly don't know how much of a difference that's going to make. You still got to get close to a guy to take a face off.
Yeah.
You're still going to have to go in the corner to win scrums. And the OHL is like high level hockey. It's not.
Yeah.
It's like extremely high level hockey. It's going to be tough for them to take hitting out of hockey. And it also sucks for a lot of the really physical players in that league who are trying to make a name for themselves, because if you take out the biggest aspect of a big power forward game, it's going to be tough for that guy to prove himself. And so,
And that's something you've said in the past that you take pride in, is your physical game. Could you even imagine playing a game where, hitting's not allowed?
Probably not. No.
Yeah.
That'd definitely take away from how I'm effective on the ice. So, I mean, I think I'd be all right to be able to get by, but That'd definitely be tough.
All right. Well, let's move on past the news section to just your career overall. You've been here almost a full 4 years now. You're Canadian, St. Albert, Alberta. Were you born with skates on like most Canadian hockey players, or when did you learn how to skate?
Pretty much, yeah. That's kind of what we do growing up there. I know right now in Pittsburgh, we don't have snow yet. It's been actually really warm. I'm talking to all my friends back home, and they've got a few feet of snow. And so it's just kind of growing up there, the outdoor rinks. And I think that's where we all spend most of our time playing street hockey.
Did you have an outdoor rink yourself?
I didn't have one myself, but you could walk a minute down the road to one and meet all your buddies there. So that's what we did with our free time. Yeah.
Do you have any siblings growing up? Usually siblings are like a big part in, motivating them to play other sports.
Yeah, so I have two sisters and brother. My sister was a figure skater, and she's a few years older than me, so she was always at the hockey rinks as well. I don't think she was at the outdoor rinks quite as much as us, but when I was young, I would have to go sit and watch all of her figure skating, and I remember we used to play mini sticks in the hallways while she was doing that, so definitely just grew up in a family that was always at the rink.
So I'm not too familiar on Canadian geography, but St. Albert, it's not in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you weren't in the boonies like some other players.
No.
how close were you to, like, you know, your nearest rink?
My nearest rink, I mean, there's probably five or six rinks in St. Albert.
Wow.
And then I was only 30 minutes from downtown Edmonton, really 40 wow. minutes probably. So I was kind of right next to that big city. So there's still lots of hockey going on.
Absolutely. What was your youth hockey experience like? I'm talking like, you know, mini mites, squirts, peewees, stuff like that.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, growing up in Canada and in St. Albert in particular, I guess something I compare it to in America is probably like football. Like everyone's been really big into football. And in Canada, everyone plays hockey. So,
yeah. Yeah, you played goalie, though, until you were what?
I did.
Like 12 or something like that?
12,
if I read
yeah.
correctly.
Yeah,
11, what 12, yeah. What prompted you to play goalie in the first place and then eventually, you know, switch positions?
I don't know, honestly. I think my dad's a really big fan of goalies, so he probably had something to do with that. But I think just growing up, I always liked the equipment. I definitely liked the masks, being able to design your own mask. So it was kind of those, like, superficial things that I really liked yeah. about goalies. And when I got a little older, I think I just really didn't want to sit on the bench for half a game
yeah.
or a full game. And then when you get that age, you have to sit out games. So that's something I didn't really want to do. So I made the switch.
Do you play goalie sometimes today, like in any rec leagues or practices, just fooling around?
No, I don't think I've strapped on the pads since then. Maybe a couple times
just
for fun.
You could be the next David Aries, though. Like, all three of them.
It'd be fun.
Use goalies, go down, yeah.
It'd be fun. I would like to do it. I don't know if my coach would let me, though, I think.
Yeah.
Like, if I could strap him on for a practice, that'd be fun. But
absolutely.
I probably don't think he'd want me to risk injury.
Yeah, that's true. So you mentioned that you're, what, like 30 minutes from Edmonton, your hometown, but
yeah.
you're not an Oilers or Flames fan, despite, you know, growing up in Alberta. You're a Wild fan. What was the decision on that when you were young?
That was kind of when I was a goalie as well. So they used to have two goalies, Josh Harding and Nick Backstrom.
Yep.
They're both out
the
league
Nick,
now. But
yeah, the other Nick Backstrom.
Yeah, the goalie Nick Backstrom. Yep. But he was, you know, he's kind of like a goalie legend for Minnesota. So
yeah.
I just loved both those guys, and that kind of drew me into them. And then when I switched to forward, I was like a huge Marion Gabrick fan.
Okay.
So that's just kind of how I got my start with them.
Do you still follow the team?
Yeah, not quite as much as when I was younger. I've kind of become more of an Edmonton fan.
Oh, yeah.
But I definitely still cheer for the Wild as well.
Is Matt Dumba getting traded?
I'm not sure. I think he's a great player, though,
he
so
is.
I'd like to see
I
him hold on.
I think he's the best player on the Wild overall.
Yeah. The way they're going right now, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So. Well, they got Billy G as GM. Anyways, moving on, Brooks Bandits. It's kind of a tongue twister. The Alberta Junior Hockey League. You were recruited to play there as a teenager, and you kind of lit it up there. 151 points in 175 games played, and then your senior year, you were the captain. You won the AGHL championship. What was your overall experience like that playing for the Bandits?
Yeah, that was definitely a great place for me to play and for me to develop as a player and a person. It's kind of cool. Kind of cool in that city. You're kind of like a little superstar. Like you go to the Walmart and people recognize you and the little kids want autographs. So it's kind of just a cool experience.
Oh, wow.
And we, our coach there was great for us. I mean, just really teaching us different things and setting us up with opportunities to move on after. And obviously we had a good team. I won two championships there. So
yeah,
it was a great place to play.
You were captain for them when you won one of the AGHL championships.
Yeah.
And then you've been captain for RMU now. Do you view yourself as, you know, like a good leader? Is that something in your game that you've always had, or is it something that's, you know, grown over time with more experience being your leadership?
I think that's something I've always had. I've been captain my team since Bantam, thinking back that far. Like most years I've worn a letter, lots of years I've worn the C, but I think that's just kind of, I guess, maybe my personality. But as I've gotten older, I've definitely learned a lot of things that good leaders on the team do. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's a little bit of both, a little bit of the learning aspect and wanting to be that for the teams I play for. And then another, and like also it's just might just be my personality as well.
Was it around this time in your career where you, you know, started to realize that, hey, I'm, you know, pretty good at hockey and I can, you know, possibly make a career out of this?
Yeah. I mean, whatever opportunities I get after this is just going to be, I think, icing on the cake. I've definitely had a good experience so far. I've been able to, you know, move all the way down here to Pittsburgh, get a scholarship, get my schooling, and then hopefully once I'm done here, I'll be able to have some good opportunities to play pro.
Yeah.
And we'll just see where it goes from there. But yeah.
And you probably wouldn't have been on this path if you continued to play goalie. Am I correct there?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think about that. I've thought about that a couple times. I've realized goalies are nowadays are keep getting bigger. So, yeah. I mean, I'm a pretty big guy. So,
yeah.
You know, so that would have worked out.
Never know. During around this time, who were some of the influential coaches and teammates that you had? And did you ever cross over with anyone that you ended up playing against or with at RMU?
I've had a lot of influential coaches going back all the way from Bantam. My stepdad coached me in midget, so he's definitely been a big influence on me. Like I mentioned, my coach from juniors, Ryan Papuano, he was huge. And then when I got here, Derek's been really good for me as well, just giving me opportunity and helping me get better. So there's that. And then, sorry, what was the other question?
Did you ever cross paths with anyone that, you know, you played against in the AHA or with an RMU? Like, do you ever play in a tournament with anyone you played with RMU?
I've played against a few of my ex-teammates and a few, like, people I played against in juniors. But so I guess there's that. I know, like, one of my best friends plays for Bentley and
yeah, I always
a
just
few
find
other
it,
guys like that.
I always
yeah.
just find it interesting where you cross paths with someone in juniors
yeah.
and then you don't realize you're going to play college either against each other or together. Moving into, you know, RMU in general, when did you start to get looked at by scouts and recruiters, and which schools were overall just interested in you?
Yeah, it was probably so I didn't really have too much my first year juniors or my second year. Nothing that I thought was really it would have been a great opportunity for me. And then finally in my 20-year-old year, we had a showcase and I talked to Robert Morris, like first team that contacted me. They talked to me. They flew me down here for a visit and I was signed within probably 10 days of talking to them.
Wow.
So there might've been a few other teams that were interested, but I think the way it all went down, just them being the first team to give me an opportunity. And you know, they just saw me as they were the first team to really get a hold of me. So, yeah.
What did you think of RMU before, you know, you officially signed in those 10 days when you were here visiting?
Yeah, I knew that they kind of had a good culture here. As far as the Atlantic hockey goes, I know that they've always been really good standing. And before I came in, they had a great team. So I saw guys like Brady Ferguson who were doing really well here and who had pro opportunities. So I saw that as a good opportunity for myself.
Moving on to your freshman year. And if I'm correct, did you play with Ferguson your freshman year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Your freshman year, 5 goals, 5 points, 32 games played. What did you expect your role to be on the team entering your freshman year at RMU?
Yeah, that's tough because there was just 3 freshmen coming in. And then we had Nick Jenny, who was a redshirt freshman the year before. So there was really 4 of us, 2 forwards. So the lineup was pretty solidified. I was happy to get in as many games as I did. And by the end of the year, I started contributing and playing a role. So I guess I didn't really, I think I had higher expectations, but once I got here, and something that the freshmen this year are going to learn pretty quick is it's much harder to score. It's much faster.
Yeah.
And guys are just overall way better. So I kind of had to learn that expectation when I first got in. And then once I was able to solidify myself, I think I started to get things going.
You score a lot of clutch goals is what I've noticed watching you. Your freshman year, you had 2 of your 5 goals in the AHA playoffs. Is that something, you know, you strive to do and you take pride in being like your clutch goal scoring ability? Is it luck or is it something you are sought out to do or is it both?
Yeah, I think I'm not sure if it's luck or if it's clutch. It's just, I think, playing your hardest in those really clutch moments is really important. Some people shy away from that, and some people take it up a level. And I think I'm just not too worried about. I think I just really like winning, and I want to win. So I think when we get to those points in the game, if I'm going well, then I got a good chance, I think.
You've been in RMU for 4 years now, and you will graduate this year. You've seen a lot of different teams, a lot of different players come through the organization. Who are some of the teammates that, you know, you've had to feel blessed playing with? And which season, in your opinion, do you view as the team's most successful in your time here?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I know Brady Ferguson, just my freshman year watching him. He's probably had the most success in pro. He just signed in Sweden, and I've talked to him a couple of times. But he was a really hard worker at the rink. I mean, he did all the extra stuff. He took care of his body. He was always working on special things, like just different moves after practice. So I think learning from him was a big one. And there are a few other guys like that as well, like Spencer Dorowitz, if you remember the name, Timmy Moore, you know, those guys in my freshman year that really just showed me what it takes to take care of your body and do things like that at the next level. As far as like our best team or our most successful team, that was up. I think we underachieved a little bit that year. I think we probably could have won the championship. I mean, we lost in the finals, but the game was kind of a blowout. And then my second year, we kind of had a heartbreaking loss in overtime in the semifinals. So, I mean, those two are close. And then last year, we obviously didn't get to see what we were going to do. But I think last year, we did have a good chance to beat Sacred Heart. We were definitely the underdogs going in. But every year, since I've been here, we've made the tournament. So I think we would have had a good chance.
Have you seen you played with Ferguson your freshman year. Have you seen the franchise kind of take an adjustment to, you know, not relying on that one star player? I mean, not to discredit the fact that, I mean, obviously the team doesn't have a Brady Ferguson level player on it anymore, and be more of a team overall. You know, you guys kind of remind me of like the Columbus Blue Jackets. You don't have like a superstar player, but you all work together and, you know, have a good team that can go out there and win the ice. You hear what I'm coming from here? Or am I?
Yeah, for sure. We're definitely reliant on Brady and Brady, Tonge, and Timmy Moore. I mean, those guys produce pretty much all of our offense. And then, you know, we can add our secondary scores that chipped in where they did. But yeah, it's definitely important to have that depth all throughout the lineup, because if one of those guys has an off night, then it's tough. And that's something we've had the last few years, is kind of spread out our scoring a bit. And I think that's definitely important to have two strong power play units and then four lines that can all score, but all have different roles in that same sense.
Moving on to your sophomore year, 38 games played, 7 goals, 16 assists, 23 points. How much of a step up did you have in a role on the team, and how much of a step up did you see from your freshman year to your sophomore year?
Yeah, I think that was a good year for me, because I was able to get a lot more opportunity with so many guys leaving. So that was probably the big difference between my first and second years, opportunities on the power play, you know, playing 15, 20 minutes a night. So that's probably how I had that big step in production. But yeah.
Something that I've noticed that you're, you know, consistently good at is you're one of the best face-off men for the Colonials. What's your secret to your success there? And, you know, if any teams are listening, just, you know, we'll mute this part out. Is that something you view as one of your best skills?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year I got away from it a little bit. I didn't take as many draws because I played on the wing. But I've always prided myself on face-offs, and I think the biggest thing is just with my size is just using my strength. So whenever I'm called on to play face-offs, I just know that face-offs are such an important part of the game. And even when I'm playing wing, I like to think that I get in and help win the face-off for the centerman, because it's a lot more than just the center. So.
Absolutely. Your junior year, 34 games played, 11 goals, 17 assists, 28 points. Unfortunately, we do kind of have to talk about the end there. Things were looking good for the team. You were leading the team in points. You just defeated Holy Cross in a three-game series. We're set to play Sacred Heart. And then COVID comes and shuts down your guys' season in the midst of a playoff run. How much of a heartbreaker was that to have to deal with?
Yeah, that was pretty brutal. I mean, we didn't find out. We drove all the way up to Sacred Heart, and we didn't find out till our pregame meal of the day
it was supposed to start.
Yeah, we were up there. We were eating pregame meal, and then it came through that our season was canceled. Wow. So it was definitely brutal feeling figuring that out. And I really felt bad for the seniors. Yep. I knew I was going to be able to come back this year and have a chance again to play another year of college hockey. And for those guys to go out like that, it was tough to see.
It's unfortunate. They didn't even know that they played their last game. Good thing it was a win, though, their last game, though.
Exactly.
How was your quarantine overall? When did you go back? What did you do to stay in shape? How often were you able to skate? Things like that.
Yeah, that was tough this summer as well. I mean, we got back here. We drove straight home. I think within 3 days, I was back in Canada and just stuck in my room for the first few days. I mean, we still did just end
the season. You were able to cross the border?
Yeah. Luckily, I was able to get back home. So, I mean, my mom helped me out a lot just doing meals and stuff like that. And So I took a little bit of a break, I would say, and then I was able to work out in my house just with anything I could, just with whatever weights we did have, body weight stuff, like circuits, just trying to stay in shape. And then the ice time didn't really start back up till the end of the summer. So it was tough finding ice time as well. So it was definitely a tough summer for training, but we got back here so early and with no games. So I feel like we had an extended off season and we've definitely been able to get ready.
Was that the furthest you've ever been in your hockey career without being able to skate?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you do anything unconventional in your quarantine time? Like, you know, pick up any other sport, watch any weird TV shows, you know, get into like something you never thought you would get into because you have enough time on your hands?
Not really, honestly. I tried picking up guitar.
Oh, yeah?
But that didn't go too well for me. I did a lot of golfing.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
How was contact with the team over quarantine? I mean, you're one of the leaders on this team and in the midst of everything that's going on. How much of it was, you know, from a leadership perspective, you know, to help ease your team through the process? How was, you know, contacting with your team over quarantine?
Yeah, I think our team did a really good job of that. We kind of put together a little bit of a leadership group and we went through a whole bunch of things of how we wanted our culture to be this year and stuff we could impose when we did get back and what we really valued. So we had some Zoom calls just talking about that kind of stuff. So I think we did a really good job of doing that over the break for sure.
Moving on, I guess this year, what have practices looked like overall? You know, when you guys were able to get on the ice, how has, you know, the team's conditioning been? What have you guys been focusing on in drills, and how often have you been like scrimmaging?
Yeah, it's been before we got shut down here, it was a pretty good grind. I mean, we were going every day of the week, practicing lots of hard practices, and we were finally starting to get into some system stuff. And then we kind of got shut down. But, you know, the workouts have been really tough, lots of conditioning. And then we usually finish the week with a scrimmage on Friday. Okay. So a good balance of fun and hard.
How much of a step up do you feel as if you will need to take, you know, once we get back into games, how much step up do you think you'll need to take this season to replace the likes of, like, Luke Lynch and Daniel Mantenuto?
Yeah, I think it's going to be definitely going to have to take a step forward, but I think more importantly, it's going to be making sure that we get the most out of everyone. I mean, there's no one player on our team that's going to be able to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really helping those freshmen make an impact early and then helping the sophomores and juniors take even another step is going to be huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've been here for about 4 years now. How much have you seen the program as a whole just grow overall in your time with RMU men's hockey, and what do you hope your legacy will be after you graduate?
Yeah, we've definitely come a long way. I think as far as the team goes, we've built a really good culture around our group, and And I think this year, I think especially that we're really happy with our group going into the season. And as far as my legacy goes, I would just say hopefully someone that came to the rink every day, did the right things, really wanted to win, and hopefully at the end of it, leaves with a little bit of hardware, maybe a ring.
Absolutely.
In the final year, that'd be great.
Knock on wood. Yeah, absolutely. I think you got a solid path lined ahead for you in your senior year. Well, we thank you for coming on. We're excited for the season to start, even though it starts right when, you know, most students are supposed to go back for Thanksgiving. But again, men's hockey will start play on November 20th against Alabama Huntsville. And RMU Century Media will have a live sports broadcast for that. We'd like to thank Nick Perkusik for coming on today and sharing his time with us and just talking about his career overall.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on.
And we'll catch you guys next week for our last Stack the Pads podcast before we head into break for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Thank you all for watching. I'm at Twitter at OCreps85. John Hanna, who's not here, is at CSN Hanna. Do you have Twitter, Nick?
I do not have Twitter, actually. All right.
Well, you can follow Nick Perkusik, his hockey career, instead of following him on Twitter overall. We'll catch you guys next week, and thank you all for watching or listening.